This is episode 51 of Our Modern Heritage, the new home and family culture podcast. And I'm your host, Jody Chathy. In this episode, I've interviewed Chaz Frudel, who is an entrepreneur at getyouconnected.com. And I want to emphasize, because, you know, this is a podcast about family culture. It's about how we raise our children. It's about how we instill values and vision and traditions and narrative and stories into our families. And the reason why I've been focusing so much on entrepreneurship lately is because I think that this is something that's really crucial for creating a family culture, that you don't have to be an entrepreneur necessarily to instill these kinds of values that entrepreneurs have and beliefs that entrepreneurs have to our family culture, because these things are so important to our culture at large. I'm listening to some talks from Oliver DeMille and Rachel DeMille lately, who are the creators of a Thomas Jefferson education, or a leadership education. And the things that they talk about are so important to developing our family culture. One of the things that Oliver DeMille is talking about in his talks is how our culture at large, you know, we go through, we went through the Industrial Revolution or Industrial Era, and now we've gone through the Information Age. Well, actually, it's more that we've gone through an institutional era, and that now we've entered into the innovative era. And so that's why we're seeing so many changes in our society, in our economy, that so much of what we are doing and what people are doing is what they call like Uberized, you know, where things are outsourced, things are freelance, things are contracted. And that that's where our culture is going at large. You know, when we're raising our kids and we're going, gee, I wonder what kind of jobs are really going to be available to our kids if they're not lawyers or doctors or, you know, and those types of things, those types of positions are institutionalized. And so you do need to have a license. You need to go through the institutions to get those kinds of educations, to get the certifications and things like that. But the rest of us who want to provide for our families, want to create income and resources and you know, those kinds of things. And also, you know, we're looking at our kids at large and going, gosh, these kids are so unhappy at school. They're so, you know, there's so much stress. Their lives are so overstructured and overscheduled and things like that. And that they aren't given opportunities to be creative, or, I mean, hopefully they are, but there's so much in studies and research and things that are, and the episodes that I've aired lately of these people who have been doing research and talking about how kids need to be able to be more creative. And the reason why is because we are in an innovative era, that because when kids are allowed to create, to innovate, to expand their ideas, is because in the future, and even starting right now, those ideas are marketable. They are profitable. They are allowing our children to live satisfied, productive lives. And it's not just for our kids, it's for us. Right now, my husband and I are going through this too right now, where we are trying to create a lifestyle and a livelihood that provides for our families and provides us with satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives, because we've spent the last 10 years and really all our lives committed and devoted to the institution and this idea that living for the institution is what will provide us with success. But that's just not the case anymore. We don't have to rely on these institutions to provide us with success or with satisfaction or anything that life can give us. We can find it through, you know, getting educated by YouTube, by all these other resources that are available to learn and develop the knowledge base for creativity, for our livelihoods, for our careers. Anyhow, so that's what we've been learning, that's what I've been learning. And the reason why I want to share these things with you about being entrepreneurial, because being an entrepreneur isn't just about starting a business. It's about being resourceful. And that's what Chaz and I are talking about in this episode. We're talking about how when we interact with our communities or at church or with our friends or even in the workplace, that if we go there asking what they can do for me, then we're never going to be happy. We're never going to be satisfied. We're never going to develop or grow. But when we go into those situations, asking ourselves, what can I contribute? What can I give? What can I provide? Then we look and we start to see opportunities. Opportunities to connect, opportunities to serve, opportunities to develop. And that's what this episode is all about. So I hope that you understand that and enjoy this idea and listen to Chaz's ideas and the way he talks about just being able to contribute, being able to create opportunities, intentional opportunities to contribute. That when he talks about creating opportunities to create memorable experiences with that are social with our neighbors, and how those types of experiences allowed him to teach his children how to innovate, how to be resourceful, how to be independent, how to be creative. Okay, so those are the things that why I emphasize entrepreneurship, because even if we're not an entrepreneur, we can innovate and we can be resourceful and we can be prepared. Chaz Friedel is blessed to have served and currently serves many wonderful organizations. Chaz started his business, Get You Connected LLC, in 2009 to connect small business owners with the products, services, and people they need to succeed. One of his early clients was the City of Dublin's Economic Development Department when he was asked to manage the new Dublin Entrepreneurial Center, commonly known as the DEC. The DEC, or the DEC, was grown to quite possibly the largest entrepreneurial center in the United States, measured by number of businesses hosted. The facility hosts over 125 small businesses, primarily startups. Chaz is also privileged to manage the Marysville Entrepreneurial Center, or the MEC, for the Union County CIC over the past 4 years, and on the governing board of the new Ohio Christian University Business Innovation Center, or OCUBIC, which just opened in late 2017. All of these entrepreneur centers were created to serve the small business startup and accelerator community by providing the education, resources, and connectivity needed for a greater chance of business success. Chaz has always believed that collaboration between small businesses is a cornerstone of sustainability. In 2015, Chaz was approached by Union County to explore a national franchise program known as Young Entrepreneurs Academy, or YEA. Yeah, is a 30-class, 90-hour program that takes middle and high school students and turns them into CEOs of their own real businesses. He has launched Yeah programs in both Union and Pickaway counties near the three entrepreneur centers, and is actively helping Yeah USA to find additional locations to start new classes. Yeah graduates over 1,500 students a year. Chaz has been a Christian since he accepted Jesus Christ into his heart in middle school while attending a huddle of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, in Upper Arlington. He has continued his passion for the Lord while serving FCA in many ways, including Director of Community and Campus Ministry and former Chairman of the Central Ohio FCA Board. Chaz also leads middle school impact ministry at Encounter Church in Dublin, Ohio. Chaz loves working with kids and has also coached soccer for 19 years, 16 for Ohio Premier Soccer Club, OP, out of Dublin and Upper Arlington. Chaz is married to his college sweetheart, Lori, where they met while both graduating from Wittenberg University. Chaz and Lori live in Dublin and have two daughters, Megan and Amanda, both graduates of the Ohio State University.
I love seeing all the work that you've done and your efforts and your service to the community and in the world of entrepreneurship. And so can you tell me more about, you know, what inspired you to get started with businesses like the Get You Connected LLC or the Dublin Entrepreneurial Center, you know, things like that? Where does your background in entrepreneurship?
Well, I've got a bit of an interesting story. I really never considered having my own business. And, you know, I dabbled here and there with some MLM, multi-level marketing, and those kinds of things that I might have been lured into or got excited about or whatever, but nothing to walk away from a business that I worked for that I enjoyed or liked the owners or any of those kinds of things. It never was something that I thought would be full time. What really took me into the direction was I was in a position with the Columbus Chamber, and they came to me one day and said, "We're eliminating this position." So it was one of those kind of things where for the first time in my life, through no decision of my own, I was needing to make a change. And as a result of that, immediately went out to the many, many, many relationships that I had built over 46 years and started just scheduling meetings with people where I averaged about 4 or 5 a day for about 2 months. And it quickly got to the point where people were telling me I needed to start my own company and what I needed to do. And that was really an eye-opener for me and really kind of got my wheels turning. Got excited about it, and I decided to make that move. So I took the skills and passions and relationships that I had and decided Get You Connected was the direction for me to go and take advantage of the relationships I built over time and just help people to connect with the people, products, and services that they need to succeed, to start a business and grow a business. That it was just as simple as that. So it started out very simply and really just has in 9 years has evolved into slight variations of that initial business idea.
That's incredible. Well, it sounds like you already had a lot of great connections if you had that many people that you were interviewing with and talking to and things like that. And so it sounds like even though you were kind of forced into it, it sounds like it was really a natural next step in your process of figuring out what you're going to do. So that's,
well, you know, I'm a faith background guy. And so yeah. I believe that, you know, the Lord's got a plan for us. And the more over the years that I learned to get out of the way of his plan for me, the better things were. And I think I was at that stage in my life where he was readying me to do what I'm doing now. And yes, all the experience that I had, and even many of the things that I was doing in my 40s and 30s, I never thought I would do. And so it was just an evolution that gave me the experience and the relationships and all of those kinds of things to slap me right into that position. So, I never would have planned on anything that I'm doing right now 20 years ago. I would tell you absolutely no way I would be doing a handful of the things that I'm doing right now. And that's where I think, you know, we need to keep ourselves open and open to change, open to new experiences, open to new relationships, and you just never know where that's going to take you. And of course, if you've got a faith background, then you know that those things are going to happen and changes are going to be placed in front of you, and you just got to learn to accept them and yeah. Know that He will provide. And that's kind of my story over the last 10 years at least.
That's awesome. I love that, you know, to have that faith, to know that when things open up or to just allow the way to open. I think that that's a really important message. I think that that's, you know, as far as not just in business or obviously since this is a family podcast, you know, when we're talking about the way that we need to follow for our families, to have that faith, to be open to what, you know, direction you need to go in is super important. I think that's a really important message that just to start out here in this topic, that to have that faith, to go in that direction and follow the path that the Lord has for you. I think that's really important. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure. I one of the big areas that I just absolutely never thought that I would enjoy and be good at, and that's working with kids. I mean, you know, when my 27-year-old daughter was born, I never would have thought that that would take me into a direction of working with kids in many ways of my life. And a lot of my roles now are working with that. This afternoon, before I sat here with you, I was at Ross County Christian Academy presenting to all of the middle school and high schoolers from that school, talking with them about considering joining the Young Entrepreneurs Academy program here down in Pickaway County. But one of the first things I wanted to share with them first was, you know, really to keep their eyes open and to explore and every single experience that they're given, whether it's a first job or, you know, meeting a neighbor or something like that, is to cherish those relationships and those experiences that you have, because every single one of them is going to be a piece in the puzzle for some time in the future. And so I think for any parent or any kid these days is to really just pay attention to that. And it comes easy and it comes for free. But oftentimes we just take those kinds of neighbors and friends and you know, that first job that maybe you don't really even like that much. You take all those kind of things for granted and you don't realize how much you can learn from an owner, how much you can learn from a neighbor, you know, how those experiences are really going to shape you into the future. And if you learn that at an early age, you can really set your life on a really nice path at a very early age.
You know, that really segues into how this relates to family culture, because when you are talking to your kids about these kinds of things, you say just what you just said. You know, as you're raising them and helping them to develop this, maybe an entrepreneurial mindset, if you want that, you know, they want that, you're not going to just say, go get a job, go to school, finish up, just follow, you know, because you don't know what the path is going to open up to. But if you have that narrative going on in your family as you're raising your kids, that listen and pay attention, see what you can glean off of this situation, those are the things that help to create the family culture that creates entrepreneurs. And so that I love that point that you just made, that it's that you tell them, learn, see where you can find opportunities. And then as you teach your kids that perspective, that's how they grow and that's how you make that. So my question is then, how then do you make this a part of your family culture, in the sense of what can families do to shape that vision that helps to raise kids to be entrepreneurial?
Well, I think part of that is to build confidence in the family and especially with your kids about being willing to build relationships and to, be as transparent as you can be, or transparent as you possibly, you know, feel comfortable being with your neighbors and with your friends. And if you can start that at a young age, then boy, that's a tremendous asset, you know, as you get older, and employers appreciate that, you know, and teachers and whoever it might be, you know, just appreciate that kind of honesty. But, you know, I have to say that when I was younger, you know, my mom and dad just died this year, both. Actually, my grandfather did too. I kind of had a trifecta in that regard. So three losses this year. But one thing that my mom was suffered from manic depression. And so they weren't very close to neighbors and didn't really go out. And not that they didn't have friends, but we just weren't that social. So that's why me growing up, I didn't think that I would have the confidence or even desire to do a lot of the things that I'm doing now. But the things that I'm doing now came from building relationships, you know, having to build relationships as a salesperson or in an account executive or whatever roles that I played over time. I built then confidence in building relationships and those kinds of things. And so what I realized is being willing to be open and build relationships is so important for a family, and to so that, you know, at a young age, kids are very willing to then be leaders and be confident to go out on their own, take risk, those kind of things. Whereas I was just very shy. I was, you know, not willing to make those steps out. And it took me till I, like I said, 46, till I, you know, really was kind of forced into that decision to some degree, but then more willing to make that decision because I had those confidence and building relationships and all of those kind of things that just took me way too long in my life to develop. So I wanted to give my kids more than that. So we, as a family, we created memorable events that were social. Mm-hmm. So I love the American flag, and I love America, and I love what the military does for us, and I love what people who go out and risk their lives do for us, whether it's police or whoever it might be. All those kind of things I just have such a respect for, and I think that came from my grandfather. But so every 4th of July, which is one of my favorite holidays, and growing up in Upper Arlington, it's a huge holiday, big parade, everything like that. So on the 4th of July, when the kids were very young, we started a breakfast on the 4th of July where we would at 7 o'clock in the morning, would have a cookout in the back, have breakfast, and then whenever I bought a house, the first thing I do is put up a flagpole. So then on the 4th of July, you know, I would take down the old flag, and then we get all the kids around the flag, all the neighbors, parents around the flag, and I'd get the kids to then put up a new flag on the flagpole, and we'd stand there and do the Pledge of Allegiance. And that's just one thing, and I'll mention another here in a minute, where I go back and, you know, I'll see neighbors whose kids now are out of college, married, have kids, whatever. And we'll be sitting around and they'll say, you know, some of our most favorite times when we were kids in this street is coming over on the 4th of July and raising a new flag. And the other one was, is my brother's really big into audiovisual and stuff like that. So he always had the coolest projectors and neat equipment. And so he would loan me once or twice a year a projector, and we'd show movies on the side of our house. And so neighbors would all come over, and kids would be in sleeping bags. The parents are in the back, you know, talking and that kind of thing. And we'd show movies on the side of our house when it got dark. And that's another thing that the neighbors would, kids would bring up. Oh my gosh, I just remember coming over and watch, you know, so creating those opportunities, not only for our kids, but for the community to come together and be one and forget about, you know, politics or forget about this that's going on or whatever, and just be friendly and loving to other, you know, everyone that comes over, and passing that on to my kids, I think is just one of the greatest things that my wife Lori and I, you know, could possibly do.
Wow, that was an amazing example. Thank you. I love that so much because it's, well, first of all, I'm sorry for your losses. I have to say that. I didn't say that. And I'm sorry. But to know that when you have those experiences growing up, you know, the negative perspective that you had help you to appreciate what you can do on the positive side of things. And that's encouraging that even the negative things you can say, how can I turn this around and turn it into something good? Mm-hmm. And that idea, those ideas are really awesome that it's as a family to create experiences that mm-hmm. this idea of family culture that I want to help impress upon my audience is that you need to create these situations. If you have a vision for what you want in the future, you need to intentionally create those situations. And, you know, when, especially with something like being social, creating those situations, especially as the way that times are changing in our culture at large, is mm-hmm. so hard, right, to have those experiences. So you have to create them and be intentional. So thank you. Well, that's awesome.
People are going so internal, you know, yeah. I mean, people aren't out in the yards as much. People aren't, you know, you never see a kid playing kickball or wiffle ball or, you know, soccer very much. And, you know, everything is so organized. You know, we're all at the fields or we're at the indoor this or the outdoor that, and everything is so planned and organized and structured, and kids very, very infrequently just have what you'd call free play, you know, where you just kind of put them in the backyard, you throw some balls out there and a few bats and a net for this and whatever, and just say, go play, you know, and see what they come up with, you know, and see how they take a wiffle ball and turn it into a totally new game or whatever. You know, I mean, it's that creativity is kind of gone that maybe we had when I was younger. Now the creativity is, you know, is new and it's great, but it's different. Yeah. And so, you know, you've got that generation mix where, you know, we still like to be out in the backyard grilling or whatever. And I think that's starting to come around again. Mm-hmm. I think you're starting to see now this next generation of kids buying homes and things like that. They're starting to do that more because mom or dad or grandpa, you know, maybe did that, so it's kind of cyclical, but it's just neat to see maybe a little bit more of getting more with the family and the neighbors and where you, you know, I didn't really, we didn't really know our neighbors that well when I was growing up. We just didn't interact with them. Here they live 10 feet from our house, you know, or from our yard. And now, you know, I think it's important, you know, to do that and to make sure that your kids are comfortable with that so that they know where that, what their place is in this world. And then on top of that, being intentional about what is their, what are they giving back to community? And that's, I'm constantly saying, well, you know, if you've been to church, and have you given to charity? Have you given time to charity? Have you helped somebody and things like that? I mean, those are the things that, those are the fabric things that, that you remember and you talk about, you know, what you made this year or, you know, whatever. I mean, that stuff, you know, that's all it needed, but incidental. It's, you know, what you're going to leave as a legacy is so much more important, and to make sure that you're getting on your kids about, and yourself about, how you can continue to be impactful intentionally on your neighbors, on your community, on everything is so important, because it's so easy to forget and get so bogged down in the job and, you know, the roof needs fixed and this, you know, this is going bad and oh my gosh, what's going on in the country right now? All those kind of things are so easy to keep us distracted on how we can be intentional about helping others. And I think you need things Americana, and you just need to get back to the basics, I think, and in so many ways. And you've got to plan for it these days. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, just too many things are going on for it to just go, oh, let's just do this. You've got to be intentional about putting those things together.
Yeah. And service is definitely the antidote to all of these, this anxiety and the fear and everything that's going on, like you said. And that you brought up this whole, that you know, the way times have changed, that people aren't outside anymore, things are so structured. And I think that that's it's very ironic that as things in our education and in the corporate world are getting in education mostly, is more and more structured. And yet we have more and more of this like Uberized type of economy where things are freelance and outsourced and things like that. How do you explain that irony? You know, how does that even work out?
Yeah, it's a shift. And actually I think we are starting to come around where, you know, the younger generations are wanting to be, you know, more together as far as living more in a central environment. You know, I'm privileged to live in Dublin and grew up in Arlington, but live in Dublin. And the new project is going on downtown along the river called the Bridge Street Project. You know, and I had the privilege of I walked over to my neighbor's house, and he was a veteran of Vietnam and was actually shot in the head. He was there, and I didn't even know that until about a year ago. And I'm like, man, next to a war hero. Went over and I just said, hey, let's go out. You know, so just he and I went out, and we went down to Bridge Street, and we went to Pins, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with Pins, called Pins Mechanical. And it's a place that you go that's got old games like, you know, foosball and pinball and shuffleboard and duck pin bowling and huge Jengos and, you know, just things like that. And it's just a fun place to hang out. Where we went there on a Friday night, and, you know, we're definitely one of the few, maybe 2-3% when we got there of anybody over 30 something. And we went out, we're sitting in these Adirondack chairs, you know, there's five chairs, groups of five chairs around, and we're sitting around a kind of a fire pit. Wasn't cold enough to have the fire pit on, but we're sitting around there, and just random people just came, start sitting next to us. And of course you sit down and you know, you kind of order your drinks or whatever, and you're sitting there and they're kind of on their own and they're talking. And I was just, which is so uncommon to me. I just started speaking up and, hey, how are you guys doing tonight? It was just neat to see these were all millennials and that were there. And it was just neat to see and hear how they interact and what they do. And it was a little bit of a wake up for me, because I think that a lot of folks in our generation, you know, I'm the end of the baby boomers, and, you know, and us, you know, parents and stuff like that. We think that the millennials, you know, don't communicate well because they're always on their phones and all these kind of things. But I'll tell you, we probably had four different groups of young kids, whether they were couples or just a bunch of girls together or some guys. And it was truly a pleasure just to sit and talk to them. And I wish more people from my generation would do that. They would appreciate their intelligence and appreciate, you know, what they have to offer and what they're doing in the community. And they're so willing to listen and they're so kind. You know, our generation tend to be more reactionary, coming from, I think, more wars and things like that. You know, we tend to be more, we got to jump on something. But this group, you know, they're just so kind. Doesn't mean that they don't get upset or whatever, but I think they just tend to be more accepting, tolerant, kind, those kinds of things of others. And it was just so nice to see. As a result of that, you know, I think the more people are willing just to shut up and just go listen to other people can be a wonderful thing. And it was a neat experience for me and my friend that was sitting next to me, a couple of old 50-year-olds sitting there. You know, it was just neat for the two of us just to be there and maybe give them a little bit of us, as well as how much we learned from them that night.
That's awesome. So do you think that these kids are the kids that are creating these types of, you know, freelance type of companies, you know, mm-hmm. is it because they're spending so much time on their devices and then, you know, you're learning, you know, being able to talk to them, what did you get from them?
Well, you know, and I'm privileged to direct operations at two entrepreneur centers, and I'm on the governing board of a third. So I see a lot, and then, you know, for the last 9 years, so I see a lot of entrepreneurial types mm-hmm. that come through. But I'll have to say that most, and I'm included in this, most people that come through and have businesses started or want to start a business, they're not entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They're not entrepreneurs. They're reacting to losing a job. They're reacting to whatever. And they're taking a skill that they have and slapping a business name on it and becoming a consultant or a service provider or whatever out of necessity. In some instances, that was more so earlier in my 9 years when the economy was struggling more. Today, more it is by choice that a lot of them are starting businesses, more a very much higher percentage. But, you know, I've seen them both. I've seen where some of them are coming in because they have to and to feed their family or whatever. You know, they've been let go or laid off or whatever, and they're taking those skills and turning into a business. But now more and more it's intentional. I'm starting a business. But still, you know, most people don't know what an entrepreneur is. And if you read the book, I think very clearly in the book E-Myth by Michael Gerber, you really get a very good understanding in the first so many chapters of really what an entrepreneur is and the definition. And are you really an entrepreneur or are you just a practitioner giving yourself a job? And a lot of entrepreneurs are. And I, you know, trust me, I've seen hundreds. A lot of businesses come through the facilities that I'm privileged to direct, and they don't have a business plan. They don't have a marketing plan. You know, I talk to kids whenever I can, and I just say, you know, back in my day, you got out the roadmap if you're in the Atlas, if you're going from here to California or whatever, and you got to follow that roadmap and constantly look at it. Now you've got a phone or whatever, a GPS or something that talks to you to go someplace, and it makes the trip so much easier and so much more enjoyable that you're confident know where you're going. And so many, well over 50% of businesses don't write a plan like that, or don't even go to somebody else to help them write a plan or whatever. And that's why, you know, 80% of businesses fail after two or so years, because they don't have that plan. And you put on top of that, that they're not building relationships while they're building their business, because, you know, admittedly so, I don't build websites. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a lawyer, you know, and if I don't have those relationships and a bump comes in the road, or I'm not constantly keeping up with what they're knowing and what I, a little bits I need to make sure that I know, then that's where you run into trouble. And entrepreneurship is taking risk, but man, you could mitigate a lot of that risk just by writing a business plan and building relationships with the key partners that you need to make sure that they handle those bumps and those roadblocks that come in, you know, that you can quickly run to an attorney that already knows you, or you can quickly go to an accountant and ask them that, you know, new tax law question, or you can quickly go to somebody and say, hey, how do I adapt to this new social media change or whatever it might be? So relationships is so important when you're building a business, because, you know, you can't know everything and you can't wear all the hats. You may try, but you can't. And in your earlier days in your business, you usually can't afford to buy all of those services. So you have to have the relationships and be able to go with those people that know what they're talking about.
And in my experience, that comes from that service. You know, if you, I recently heard, I don't know if you know Richie Norton, he's a business type advisor. Anyways, he talks about how if you want to find a mentor, you need to go to them and say, I want to learn from you, but in the meantime, I want to work for you, you know, type of thing. What you go to them and offer them value, and that allows you to develop that relationship so that you can, it can be more mutual, especially in the beginning when you don't have the resources. Cause that's what I'm finding along the way with myself is that, you know, there are so many things to navigate. And it's true. If you don't have some kind of system or some kind of map or somebody that you can, that can tell you and help you to get through it, it's a lot to navigate through.
It is. And if I can digress a bit and talk about one, you know, there's so many, I can talk about 100 of our different tenants that have had an impact on me or that I can sit back and, you know, be very proud of the fact that we've been able to help them in some way at the Dublin Entrepreneurial Center, the Marysville Entrepreneurial Center, the OCUBIC, the Ohio Christian University Business Innovation Center, that we've been able to help them in some way. And one tenant, just based on what you were just saying, one tenant that that we have at the DEC who's been there for a little while now, Chris Borja, who owns a organization now called Become a Better Networker. And when he moved here to Ohio and even before that, you know, he said he was a very shy individual, was not good in crowds. And here now, he's got a business that helps other people learn how to network. And you'd never know that he was shy. You'd never know, you know, maybe sitting in this talk right now or hearing me in the various situations that I'm very shy, but I am, you know? And so it's just amazing how people can there again, be open and be open to new experiences and new relationships and how your life and direction can change just by being open to that. And seeing Chris, when he moved in, helping people with legal issues through Legal Shield, and just selling, you know, that service, to now shifting more and hiring his wife and really just exploding on helping just people become a better networker and just teaching them how to be able to, what he likes to say, and another good friend of mine, Carrie Oberbrunner, likes to say, show up filled up. You know, don't go someplace trying to get things. Yeah. Go someplace filled up to where you're able to help others. And if you just naturally go and be willing to help others and learn what other people's needs are and being helpful to them, they're naturally going to want to help you back. And so at the DEC specifically, we've written a new opus for this year, which is your masterpiece, your opus. And the key cornerstone of that is being intentional about helping our business tenants that are at the facility to learn how to give back and to learn how to, you know, help others and to learn how to build a legacy for your business, build a legacy for your family, you know, build those legacies, because we can all show examples of people that when they do that, their businesses are more successful. You know, they're more comfortable in taking care of things, and they're just happier because they can sit back and say, you know, I had some small part in helping this kids program, or I had some small part in this or in that. And that's so much more pleasing to think about than, you know, the other things that are going on in this world. And so I got to hand it to Chris and hand it to so many of the other tenants who come in and they get that. Yeah. And then they become good at it, and they learn to help others, and they learn that you don't have to sell as much if you're just known as being somebody that's being helpful. That way people want to bring you onto their team and want your business, want your product or whatever, because they know you're there to be helpful, not just be a taker. And that can be really a big lesson to learn for anybody that's willing to start a business, is you've got to learn to be a giver first and be willing to help others first, and then naturally it'll circle around and be rewarding back to you.
Absolutely. And I think that what you just said applies to everything, you know, in any situation. If you do have a day job, or if you serve in a church or do anything like that, you come into this situation saying, what can I give? You know, and that when you have come into a situation with that attitude, especially as an entrepreneur, but in any situation, then you will have, like you said, you'll be so much more, it'll be so much more fulfilling. And that's something that I, through my studies and with this idea of creating a family culture and creating a business or just being creative in general, is finding your authentic purpose. And when you are contributing, you feel that sense of purpose and your authenticity and your capacity to serve that is uniquely you shines through. And that is what building a legacy is really about, is being able to allow your authentic self to show through in anything that you're doing. And that comes from showing up with the desire to serve and to give back and to do what you can to make a difference. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. I've got a good, very good friend and very blessed to, he was a former pastor of mine, named Kerry Oberbrunner, who owns Igniting Souls. He's created a business and he's written many books now, but one of the more recent ones is called, and you just mentioned a part of it, Day Job to Dream Job. And that is helping those people that, you know, kind of have that idea in the back of their head, or you know, they've just got that entrepreneurial spirit in them or whatever, but they're in that day job that they don't know how to get out of, and they're scared of leaving, you know, but the security of that paycheck every couple of weeks or whatever. But his process, and he's now a business coach and individual coach and leader and whatnot. And so what he teaches and helps others to do, as well as show up filled up, is to learn how to deal with the weaknesses that you have, how to identify the strengths and the skills and the gifts that God's given you, and develop a plan for that moving forward. And part of that is developing your opus, developing what your masterpiece, what you're going to leave to this world is going to be, and helping people to make that leap. I think there were about 10 of us in a class about 5 or 6 years ago, and that's when he was still live teaching classes. Now he's got thousands of people around the world that he works with, so a lot of it is virtual. But we were in this class, and out of the 10, five of them at least left the positions that they were in and formed their own companies. Five of them out of that class. Now it changed my direction. It made me more focused. It made me more, you know, just strengthened me in what I was doing. And same thing with some of the others. But five, we're talking executives and companies.
Wow.
Left what they were doing to create their own new venture, and they're all doing well, you know. And it really just gets back to identifying who you are and what God's gifts are, and just following that lead. And it's amazing what can happen and how your life can be so much easier. And when you wake up, you're so much more excited to do what you're meant to do, rather than constantly fighting it or being too scared, you know, to leave that job that, you know, is really just a paycheck. And that's a shame that people go through their whole life and never really enjoy a good chunk of their day every day, because there are some place that they don't feel reward. They don't feel like they're contributing. They don't feel like, you know, that it's something significant. And that's something that I think the younger generation right now is better at. On the one hand, I think they leave jobs too fast. Okay, I see way too much of that. But on the flip side, they're willing to be more risk-taking and jump and go to that next thing. Getting back to your original question, I think that that's one of the key reasons why they are more successful, is they are willing to say, nope, that's not for me, I'm moving on. On one hand, you're not building enough experience and maybe enough background where you get good references. But on the other hand, they've got that confidence to move on, and you've got to give them a hand for that. And you've got to recognize that some of those things that we would perceive as being weaknesses are really in some ways strengths. So you just need to make sure that they realize that that's what they are, and make sure that they tune those the right way to deal with them. I would never let my daughters leave a job before a year. I always said, you know, it was one thing to build experience, build a reputation, you know, learn from the owners, stuff like that. And therefore, they get great jobs, and they got great jobs coming out of college as a result of that. But I also want them to kind of maintain that willingness to move on if they need to, you know. And I was in one position for 18 years. My dad was a truck driver for 40 years. You know, I mean, that generation, you stayed with companies, you stayed doing the same thing forever. These days, I think it's we're in a different culture as far as that goes, and we need to adapt to it. I think in the future, more and more companies are not going to hire you full time. they're going to start hiring you as a contractor. And doing projects or whatever for them. And as a result of that, you're your own company. And so I think schools are getting a grasp of that, and they're starting to bring entrepreneurship more in. But if you don't have the confidence and recognition of really in the future, more and more people are just becoming their own business owners. If you don't realize that, if you're not prepared for that, then you're going to fail on that side. Yeah. You know, and companies are, that's more and more what they're looking for. They don't want the healthcare responsibility. They don't want, have to be build buildings with a bunch of desks in them. They don't want to do that. And one of my daughters is in a position like that. She works, 2 days in the office. She works 2 days at home, and as a result of that, she's already in that world. But she works for them, but I wouldn't be too surprised in the future at some point if they say, well, we still want you to work for us, but you're going to be a contractor. You're going to be a 1099er from now on, because that's the direction I think that our country's going, and we just need to be better prepared for that.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to what you were saying about you're creating a family culture that's intentional around being connected, being able to network, being able to have those social interactions that strengthen not just our family, but also prepare us for having that confidence. Because when you're a contractor, it's up to you. you are the one that's creating those connections and keeping your job security there. And so that's incredible insight and encouragement for all of us who are raising kids who are going to be in that generation, because we're all going, where are the jobs going to be? What's going to happen? What's their future? Everything's going to become automated and everything like that. But this idea that if you are just adaptable, social, networking, connected, then you can be able to, you'll be prepared for whatever is coming in the future. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just even for professionals, doctors now have to be business owners. Used to be that you became a doctor, you worked for a hospital, you worked for whatever. Many doctors now, they're small business owners now. Yeah. So even the professionals have moved into that direction a little bit. And I just think that we need to be better prepared. And so, Central Ohio, we have a handful of entrepreneur centers. Okay. Now there's over 40 places where you can go and drop in and have shared space and things like that. But one thing that Central Ohio folks need to know is there's plenty, and even around the country, there's plenty of places now that you can go to get free advice, to get free support, to point you in the right direction, write a business plan, help you with your marketing, whatever those kind of things, that there are plenty of places out there now that provide those kind of services and support for you when you are trying to start a business, or whether you're thinking about it, to vet your idea or whatever it might be. There's plenty of places around to help you with that. And so encourage people to use those resources. Yeah. Whether it's the government that has various programs, or whether it's communities like Dublin and Union County and Ohio Christian University, that just, they've opened their doors and they've just said, come on in, come mm-hmm. on in, and we'll provide you with space if you need it, but we'll provide you with opportunities for mentorship, opportunities for networking, opportunities to come in and learn how to be better in these areas. And these places are springing up. In the last 5 years, there are, again, 30 to 40 of these kind of drop-in places have sprung up all around Columbus. And besides the roughly 5 entrepreneur centers that are in place. So there are plenty of places that you can go to get support. And they're all over the country, and it's an industry that's growing dramatically. So nobody should have an excuse for not being able to get, some good guidance and build some good relationships if they're looking to become an entrepreneur.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chaz. And where can we find you and learn more about the services that you offer and things, and connect with you personally?
Yeah, well, I always just love to say connect with me with the various organizations that I work with. And so at the DEC, it's, www.DECindublin, DECindublin. .com and in Union County. For the Mac, it's the Mac.org. For Young Entrepreneurs Academy, because I work with 6th grade through 12th grade kids to help them start their own businesses. So at the end of a 25-week program, they actually launch their own real businesses. The next classes start in October. There's yeaunioncounty.org, and there's yeaocubic.org for the 2 classes that I currently run. And, you know, so whether it's helping kids or helping the dots, they can find me at any of those locations.
Awesome. I will make sure to have all those links in my show notes so that the, my audience can connect with you and find those resources. Awesome. Sure. Thank you so much, Jez.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and it's been a pleasure to share a little bit with your audience, and God bless everybody, and God bless America, and come out and visit me sometime in one of those facilities, and we'd love to serve you.
Thank you for listening. I love getting your feedback. You can like, rate, and share on your favorite broadcasting medium or social media platform. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Family Culture Podcast, and on Twitter at _FamilyCulture. Come check out my show notes and resources at homeandfamilyculture.com. Thank you again for listening. Mother Teresa once said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family."